Luke chapter 2, again, Jesus and the widows. Last week, we looked at a widow that was never a part of Jesus' life, but he had made her a part of his life by his familiarity with the Word of God, and that was the widow that he talked about in the first message he gave in Nazareth. So we're going to read about the first widow in Jesus' life in Luke chapter 2. Tell you a little bit about her from verse 25, because this is the background. Some would say, why, this is a mix-up. It isn't Christmas time. But the widows in Jesus' life, they have a relationship with one another. And this is 40 days after Christmas time. So let's look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, that they might do according to the custom of the law, then he received him into his arms and blessed God and said. And then he speaks. Verse 36. Now we come to the first widow in Christ's life. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow even unto 84 years. Who departed not from the temple, worshipping with fastings and supplications, night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God, and spake of him, the Lord Jesus, to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had accomplished all things that were according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for every occasion when collectively we come together to think of you and your Son and your Word, to think of life as you would teach us life that is life indeed from the Scriptures. We are thankful for that time that we have enjoyed. Some of us, Father, sat round thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and remembered him as he commanded. We thank you for that. But thy Son not only said, remember me, but he spoke of those that were his own. And he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And he also said to preach the gospel to every creature. And so for this occasion, we give thee thanks, our God, that the word might be taught, that the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners might be proclaimed again on this podium. We look to thee, Father, for the accomplishment of this. So for every blessing that has been ours, we thank you, and an anticipation of another blessing that can be ours if your Spirit works, grant us that, our Father. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In one sense, a comparison of the two widows that we have and are to think about were different, but in another sense, they were alike. Let me tell you about this woman's probable age. You read that young Hebrew girls were married from 14 on. Let's say this one was 15 years when she was married, Anna, and she was married 7 years, and then her husband died, and she had remained a widow 84 years. And so that should work out to about 106 years. So this is an old woman. Now, this is the likeness. When the Savior spoke about that widow of Zarephath, as this woman was 105, if you've lived that long, I promise you, you're about ready to die. And when he came to the widow of Zarephath, she was this near death. She told Elijah, I'm going to make a little cake for my son and myself, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. And yet, this woman, in 1 Kings, was unable to live on and on and on, and this woman, Anna, also received rejuvenation. She had a desire to live and serve at the age of 105 or 6, whether 14 or 15 years of age, when she got married. So there's so many things to tell you about this widow. One of them is this, that some of the blessings of God come late in life. If you've waited until you're 105 years of age for the blessing of God, and it comes, the blessing of God has come late in life. I'm speaking of a particular blessing, because no doubt God blessed her in lesser ways throughout her life. And also, if when you are ready to die, only then God comes and visits you, as the woman in 1 Kings 17, then also that's a visitation late in life. And yet, an elongation of life. So think of these women, these two widows. But I wanted to approach it from a different standpoint today, because these are widows in our Savior's life. You have to understand, to appreciate the Lord Jesus in full, that He is God manifest in the flesh. And if you think of Him only as God instead of the God-man, then ever so much will be lost. As God, He knows the end from the beginning. As God, He never sleeps. But then, the Lord Jesus did sleep, and the Lord Jesus was weary, and so He was the God-man. And do not say, when He sleeps, make no excuse, He's not really asleep. He was. And when He was weary at the well of Samaria, He was genuinely weary at the well of Samaria. Now, in like manner, it says concerning the man, Christ Jesus, that He increased, He advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So, as a little boy, He had to learn the alphabet, and He had to learn to read and write, and it was progressive. That's what God says. It says in Luke 2:52, He was cutting His way forward. He increased in wisdom. You say, well, how can God increase in wisdom? When passages like that are spoken, it's looking upon Christ as the incarnate Son of God. So He increased in wisdom. And I'm talking about this widow, and I take it that the thing that is recorded by Luke was told him by Mary. And I'm taking it that Mary also told this incident to her son Jesus. If any of you are of age and you can remember when you were young, you will recall that in the presence of your mother, she would tell you things that happened before you were able to remember those things. When you were in the cradle, who came to see you, when you were just beginning to talk, this important person that came into your life. And I have no doubt that as my mother and your mother, so Mary would tell Jesus these things. Son, let me tell you what happened. And she would tell him these things. Now, if you say, he's God, he didn't need to know. As God, did he increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man? You say, yes. Well, his mother told him these things. This is the way I take it. And so she would tell her son about this widow and how she came into his life when he was 40 days old. You see, they were brought at 40 days. You'll find this in Leviticus, the rituals that are to be carried out. Circumcised the 8th day, and then dedicated his firstborn the 40th day. So his mother would tell him about this. So here is this widow woman. And what is so remarkable about this widow woman is that I'm thinking of her in the light of those other widows I told you about last week, who were not the widow of Zarephath. Our Savior said there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah. But God only sent Elijah to one. And what about those other widows? God passed them by. And so in like manner, here is this widow woman, and there are many widows in Israel. But Anna is one that God does not pass by. Just as this woman of Zarephath is visited, so Anna is visited by God. And I want to bring out an important point, how that it all comes about in so natural a way, without any announcement from God. I personally would like to be like Simeon, because Simeon had been told in advance, you know that before you die, you're going to see the Lord's Christ, and so I would look forward to that. But nothing is told Anna about it in the scripture. So how did God know that this thing that he intended to happen in her life would happen in her life? Why, the answer to that is elementary. We read about her, that she departed not from the temple. She was there day and night. And so in the case of Simeon, God said, Simeon, you might not be around when my son comes. So I'm telling you this in advance. And in like manner, I say this with embarrassment, that if something special were going to happen here by God, some of you would have to have an announcement made. Why? Because you wouldn't be here unless that special announcement were made. But concerning others, no announcement has to be made. I said this, and now I can say it because God has put me in my place. If I'm in Goldsboro, or if it's the month of March, and I am in Richmond, and someone said, look, I would like to meet John Mills. How can I meet him? All you would have to say is, be at the remembrance meeting at 9:30, and he will be there. Is that true? You say it's happened for 30 years. Thank God. Now, having told you that, I add this disclaimer, unless I'm sick. Because of all things, having told people this, on Sunday, I was operated on Wednesday, and here it was prayer meeting night, and I wanted to go, and people said, no, you're not going to the prayer meeting. And so I told them, why, if God has anything special, you don't have to make an announcement to me, I'll be there. And so, sure enough, Wednesday, I wasn't there, and the next Sunday, one of the brothers came up and said, you weren't at prayer meeting Wednesday night. And I said, no, but I had a prayer meeting of my own with my wife in the home. We read, we prayed, we studied the scriptures. He said, well, I suppose you can get by on that. But understand that in the case of Anna, and I thank God for this, she is dependable. And there are some Christians that are undependable. We've had them to come to Goldsboro, to come one time for a while and then leave. Stay longer and leave, come and go. And so we just reckon them as they are. We are glad when they come. We embrace them. But there's no dependability. There are others who never miss unless there is some legitimate occasion. And so Anna was a widow in Christ's life, and his mother would tell him about this widow that was so important. Simeon, she would tell him about. Anna, she would tell him about. Why? Because, son, when you were a little baby, 40 days old, this woman of God, who had been looking for the redemption of Jerusalem her whole life long, when you were brought into the temple, she was there, and you rejoiced her heart. And Simeon, let me tell you about that blessing that he spoke, the words that he spoke when he saw you. And all of these things would be precious to the Lord Jesus. And inasmuch as the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance, then he does not give you special revelations if you know already. He brings to your remembrance. In like manner, Luke, when he wrote his gospel, said that he had searched out everything. He had looked into things. And who but the mother of Jesus would know about Simeon and about Anna in the temple? You see? And so I take it that Mary told Luke, and that Mary also told her son. And so the Lord Jesus could say, yes, I know about many widows, and one of them my mother told me about when I was a little boy, how that I came, and it was a blessing to her heart. Now, this is what was meaningful to me about the life of Anna. And think of you men, and especially you women, but exchange places in your thought. Suppose you knew that God was going to let you live to be 105 years old. Would you want him to let you know that you were going to be a widow 84 of those 105 years? That you were going to be married as a very young girl, and after only 7 years of marriage, your husband is going to die, and after that you would be alone for the rest of your life, 84 years. You say, perhaps it's better not to know. And yet, this woman would have it no other way. She was blessed with God. What happens is this. Some of us look back over our lives, and we are satisfied. And others, and I say this with great sorrow, but with understanding, one young lady was sick and was told what to expect for the rest of her life. And somehow, in talking to others, she said, I've been told about my life, and these were her words. She said, it stinks. Why? Because her life is to be one of suffering, incapacity, hopelessness, and the only thing she could look for was death. Now, think of this woman. Suppose she had been told that you're going to live without romance, no young man in your life for 15 years. You see, she was a virgin for 15 years, but then a man is coming into your life. But then, since we are not told of any children, you're not going to have any children, and he's only going to live 7 years, and then he's going to die. And so here is her youth spent without romance, as people speak of today, and then her marriage without length of days and without children, without blessing, and then widowhood for over 84 years. And God says that is going to be your life. And if you men were going to have that kind of life, and if you young ladies were going to have that kind of life, I wonder if you would not describe it in the same words as that young woman I told you about. And yet, the life that God gave Anna was the best kind of life. You say, how can that be? This way. She could look back over her life, and she could say, my life was the Lord's, and my virginity was dedicated to him. I knew no man until I married my husband, and I knew no man but my husband. And I loved him and cherished him, and our life together was one of joy for 7 years. And when God took him, I did not complain. And now, as a widow, I have enjoyed fellowship with God all these days, and now I'm 105 years of age. You say, well, if you look at it that way, why, of course. If you look at it the way the world looks at it, you see, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, this woman could look back over her life and say, nothing of the world was in my life. And what is so sad about people today is this, that if nothing of the world is in your life, you say, it is wasted. I look back on my life with disappointment because this sensual pleasure, this pride, this lust of the flesh, this boasting did not come into my life. And yet this woman could look back and say, I thank God that none of these things came into my life. Whereas the worldling complains to God because my soul loathes this light bread. That's what they said concerning the manna from God. And others would thrive and rejoice in the manna of God. And so it's how you look at it. You look back over your life, and if this has been your life, and the attitude of Anna has been your attitude, you will look back and say, satisfied. If you are worldling, and God says, this is your lot in life, you will look back and be critical of God, and you will be like Jacob. Poor Jacob, how good God was to him. He said, the days of my life have been few and evil. It's been one of sorrow my whole life long. And yet, the miracle is that God let him remain alive. He lived to be 147 years of age. And at the age of 130, that was what he told Pharaoh. He said, my life has been one of misery. I've just lived a short time and I've had so much sorrow in my life. And so, that's what somebody would say if your life had been that of Anna. But if Anna were asked, she would say, my life has been one of fullness and joy with, now listen to these things. She had the temple of God. She had the people of God. She had the services of God. She had fellowship with God. You say, that's what she had? Yes. God had decided after so long a time that he was going to place his name in Jerusalem, and a temple was built there. And so this was the very place that God said his people were to meet him. And this woman lived in the temple. She lived in it, and I take it means why he lives at church. She was constantly there. So she had the temple of God, and she had the people of God. Because it spoke of Simeon, who looked for the consolation of Israel, and it said that Anna looked for the redemption of Jerusalem, and afterwards it said she went out and spoke to all of those that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. You said then there were others, of course. There was a little band that had that hope of the coming Messiah that would cast off the physical yoke that was upon them, and then whatever spiritual blessings were to come, they also were good things, but they wanted this physical deliverance. And so, think now. Here were these religious services of God. There were seven. You'll find them in Leviticus 23. And there was the Passover. And there was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then First Fruits. And then Pentecost. And then the Blowing of Trumpets. And then Atonement. And then the Feast of Booths. All these feasts continually taking place throughout her lifetime. And people from distant places would come. And Anna was right there at the center of the place that the people of God met. And so she had these services of God. And she had fellowship with the people of God. There were others in Jerusalem that enjoyed the things that she did. And she also had communion with God. It said she continued in supplications and prayers and fastings day and night in the temple. And so she had God as her friend, as her companion. And so you say, well then, a woman has a life she can look back on, and she said, I dedicated my youth to God, 7 years to my husband, because God said it's not good for man to be alone, and so I married. And now, for 84 years, I've dedicated my life to God. And you say, what kind of life is that to live? I can think of no grander life. And it will thrill the soul of one to anticipate such a life. If the mind of Christ is in you, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And this is what the Savior said at the age of 12. What? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And so all God's children must understand that the reason you're here is for God. You see, God was not made for you. You were made for God. And all the benefits that come to you are because God added those. He could have made you and withheld everything. But instead, he made you for himself, and he said, and in addition to that, I'm going to give you a garden. I'm going to give you comprehension, wisdom. I'm going to give you myself. I will come and walk with you every day in the cool of the garden. I'm giving you all of those things. And so here is Anna, and she is enjoying all of these things. And this is the first widow that ever came into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I take it that Jesus' mother told him about that widow. And speaking of that widow, I want you to understand a contrast that the Apostle Paul speaks with Anna and the widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says, now she, and keep in mind what I told you about Anna, in 1 Timothy 5 it says, she that is a widow indeed is desolate and hath her hope set on God and continueth in supplications and prayers day and night. Whom does that sound like? You say, that's Anna. Why, of course it is. And God says, she's a widow indeed. And then it speaks of other widows. It speaks about the younger widows. And it says that they who give themselves to pleasure are dead while they live. And he says, the younger widows do not take into the fold. You are not responsible for them, because it says, after a while, they wax wanton against Christ. And what it literally means is that their sensuality increases, and it's against Christ. And it says, they desire to marry. You say, well, what's wrong with that? It says, having condemnation because they have rejected their first pledge. You see, when they became widows, they said, I'm dedicating my God from this, my life, from this day on, to God alone. And God expected them to keep that pledge. And these young widows made that pledge, and now they find sensuality increasing in them, and they want to marry. And they have condemnation. Why? Because they rejected their first pledge. God tells you this. He said, there's nothing wrong if you do not make a vow to me. Nothing wrong. He said, but if you make it and break it, then there is condemnation. And so this is what Paul said. He said, I will therefore that the younger women marry their children, rule the household, give none occasion to the adversary to condemn, because some are already turned aside after Satan. And so there's nothing wrong with widows marrying. That's what the Apostle Paul tells them to do, unless they have the special gift as Anna does, to dedicate herself completely to God. And therefore, it may have been, and have some of you wives ever chafed living with a husband more than 7 years? And if so, perhaps this woman had those experiences. And having had her husband taken from her, it says in 1 Corinthians 7 that she that is unmarried can dedicate herself and her services completely to God. And you women know how husbands have to be fed and clothed and cared for, you see. And so you are distracted. You cannot serve God completely. But once this woman became a widow, she had given her youth to God, 7 years to her husband, and now she says, Lord, I'm free, and without reproach, I can give the rest of my life to you. And that is what she did. Do you see why this widow is brought to the attention? Why this is a widow in the life of our Savior? Because God is telling us the best kind of life, And unless I had explained it to you as I had, you would shake your head and say, I feel so sorry for that little woman. And Anna would look at you and shake her head and say, I feel so sorry for you. Now think. Well, how can my life be like that of Anna? Do you not have a house of God? A house that is dedicated to the glory of God, as it is a temple? You say, yes. And do not people of God come to this place of like faith with you? You say, yes. And are there not religious services here, as they had the Passover? Is there not the Lord's Supper? Yes. The teaching, apostolic doctrine? You say, yes, it's all of those things. And is there not hope? The hope of the coming of the Lord? You say, yes. Well, if Anna, with not even the fullness of hope that you have, could look and say, my life has been a glorious life. I would not ask God to change it in the least. If you would just these things, having learned of Jesus Christ, having a place like this to gather, having Christ in your midst, because God said, I'm going to dwell in that temple. And the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 that he was there. And so you have the presence of God. You have a place where people of God can meet. You have religious feasts set forth and meetings the way that Anna did. You have them too. And you can come and fellowship with the people of God. And you can worship God as we did earlier. And you can supplicate and pray to God and thank God at other times. And you can come and learn of God and have that hope of the coming of Christ increase and brought to your attention day by day. And so, if God only gives you these things, he's given you the illumination as to what should be done. And he's given you the opportunity to do those things. And so now, if he takes away all of these other things, and God delivers, because who is strong like Anna, can we not say, I thank you, God, for the full life that you've given me. And so these blessings can be yours, as they were Anna's. Anna chose to serve God as he would have her serve him. You do the same. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so glad that you show us in some of your saints the life that is life indeed. We are thankful also that you've told us about those that live, and you've described them as they're dead while they live. Oh God, please teach us to know what is death while we are living, and let us know what is life indeed. And let our hearts, as Anna's heart, be in the house of God, the place where Christ's name is, and let the services of God be those things that fill our souls. Did not thy son say, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer? And let our hearts say, Father, with desire have I desired to remember your Son with the people of God before he comes. So work upon our hearts, and let us, in a small measure, be like Anna, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.